All right. So, but I want to teach just a little bit, guys, about a very important topic, and it's the prophetic, and probably one of the most important giftings to the body of Christ because of what it does for the body. And so just want to teach just a little bit about that. And I'm not going to get into a lot of teaching like on the office of the prophet and things like that. We'll touch on it just a little bit. But I want to talk and teach just a little bit in very practical means of how to operate in it, and because it's so vital. Amen. And you know, you guys are, all of you here, you're part of groups that operates in the Spirit. Amen. And all the things that have to do with the giftings of the Spirit. You know, you're part of a group, you know, that believes in those things. Amen. And that's very important. And so, you know, in the various times, you know, when that you're going to be, you know, in various meetings, wherever you're at, whether you're in Weatherford or here or whatever, you know, you're going to be part of services where you see supernatural things take place. Amen. And, you know, God's a supernatural God. I mean, he's not just some dude like we are up there, you know, and in many ways we can relate to him as being that son of man that came, you know, the Messiah that came and became flesh. But the thing is, he's also God, and he is supernatural. Amen. And he is way above, the way we do things. He's way above this natural realm. Amen. And the thing is that a lot of times God's people in their thinking, they never get out of that natural way of thinking. We kind of pull God into our way of thinking and kind of make him, you know, just kind of normal and average. And the thing is God pulls us out of our natural ways, out of the ordinary. He pulls us up with him. Amen. Now, it's true that he came down to be like us, but I tell you what, he did that so that we could be raised up. Amen. It says several places. One place is in Ephesians. I believe it's the second chapter. It says that he's raised us up and seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so he's raised us up to be with him and to operate how he operates in. And it's important to understand that, because God is supernatural. And we're going to have a teaching tonight about things that are supernatural, and specifically the prophetic. Amen. And so I'd like you to turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, when you study this, and you can go home and do some study on your own, but it's important to study 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 together. And there's a lot in there concerning spiritual gifts. And the Bible was not written in chapter and verse, okay? It was written as one letter. And that was put in for our benefit, chapter and verse. And so there's not a love chapter in the Bible. I mean, it's still there, but it's not a separate love chapter. It's right there in the middle of these two chapters, chapter 12 and 14. And those three go together in a specific teaching that Paul was given the Corinthian church. Now, in chapter 14 here, it specifically lines out what the New Testament prophetic ministry is all about. Okay? Now, as we get into this, it's important to understand that the New Testament prophetic ministry is different than the Old Testament. Amen? Just like in a lot of ways, that is true. You know, revival to the New Testament person is different than revival in the Old Testament. Repentance in the New Testament is different than repentance in the Old Testament, because, bless God, we have the blood of Jesus, and it's changed us a little bit. Amen? And so it's certainly that way with the prophetic ministry. Now, in the Old Testament, you see hints of the prophetic, like what you have today, but just hints of it. There is the office of a prophet that you see in the Old Testament. And those, you know, you read those stories about those Old Testament guys, man, they were just, I mean, powerful people, were they not? I mean, oftentimes tremendous miracles accompanied them. And I mean, they were telling future events, and they were hard and they were tough as nails, right? That's different though than the New Testament prophetic ministry. Okay. Now, there is the office of a prophet in the New Testament. That's in Ephesians chapter 4, where you have the fivefold ministry, and the prophetic, or the prophet, is in that. Now, that's different than just the prophetic ministry. We're going to get into that. The prophetic ministry is for any child of God to operate in if you want to. there are people that will have a greater gifting because the Spirit of God does that. He's just going to give them out as He wills. Amen. However, as you can see here in a minute, we'll look at in chapter 12, it says that it's given to every man to profit withal. And as a matter of fact, through these chapters, as you read them, it says several times in there to desire them. Desire the best gifts, as a matter of fact. Because God wants you to operate in the supernatural because it enables you to get the job done much better and much more efficient, the job that He's given you to do. Amen. What job has He given you to do? Preach the gospel, right? I mean, everybody has that job. It's going to be different ministries are given out according to what God proportions out. But every one of us is commissioned for the furtherance of His kingdom. Amen. It's God's purpose that we're all about here in the earth. Amen. And so the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural, is given to you so you can do those things much more efficiently and much better than you can do in your own power and your own ability. Amen. We can't heal a broken heart. I mean, the best we can do in our own power is relate to it and say, oh, I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. I've been there. Here, let's cry a little bit and feel better about it. That's about all we can do. And I tell you what, you can minister by the anointing and you can see a broken heart healed whether you can identify with it or not. Amen. It's good to be able to identify, but you don't have to identify with everyone's problem if you're anointed by God, because God can identify. Jesus bore every sin, every bad thing that ever took place. He can identify with it. He took that sin upon Him on purpose. Amen. He can identify with it. And you have that anointing on the inside of you. I was raised in church, was saved when I was 4. And it's amazing how many drug dealers and people like that and people on drugs and just people that really was in horrible, horrible sin, that God used me to lead them to the Lord, and I could identify nothing with them. Sometimes God just flips the deck just to show us that it's Him and not you. Right. Amen. I've got a good friend that horrible background. I mean, horrible background. It's amazing how many, he has no education. When he first started out, when he was saved, he couldn't even read. They just got him through school because they didn't want to see his face there in that seat the next year. And he got into the Word. He's a pastor now and goes all over the world. Got into the Word. God began to teach him how to read through reading the Word. This guy, it's amazing how many doctors and lawyers and professors that God brings this guy to deal with, and he can't identify with anything about them. But God uses him to bring them to the Lord just to show everybody that it's God and not man. Amen. The thing is, it's the supernatural that allows you to do those things that you can't do on your own. You try to do it on your own. This guy couldn't do that on his own. The man with God, you can do it. Does that make sense? And so I was talking a little bit about the Old Testament, the prophet. Now, the New Testament, there is a prophet, and it's an office that's given by God. You can't say, you know, I'm going to be a prophet. No. That's given by God. God determines that. Just, you know, you got the fivefold ministry, not teaching on that tonight. But that office will operate in a prophetic different than just the normal prophetic ministry. Okay? That person is the type of person that will foretell future events, things like that. He'll just have a little bit of a different, it will identify a little bit more like the Old Testament prophet than the normal prophetic ministry. Does that make sense? Amen. Now, I'm not really teaching on that, but it's important to make that distinction. Everyone that prophesies is not a prophet, okay? But there is a prophetic ministry that God's people can be involved in. And the thing is that is really even a greater ministry because it has to do with the body of Christ. Amen. We're going to show you that here. Now, is there any questions on that there? How do you understand that? Amen. Now, in chapter 14 here, we're just going to start in the first verse. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Now, he's telling, this is to everyone, desire spiritual gifts. That he's saying that because you can have them. You can walk in it. He wouldn't tell you that. You know, he's not, you know, holding a candy bar up there and saying, Dan, you want this? Do you want this? No, you can't have it. You know, it's for somebody else. No, God doesn't do that. He's telling you to desire Him for a reason, so that because He wants you to walk in Him. Amen. Now, especially what? What does it say there? Especially that you may what? Prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. Of all of the various giftings, and He goes through a lot of them in chapter 12, He says, desire especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. Now that's talking about the personal filling with the spirit of tongues. That's not talking about the gift of tongues, which is tongues and interpretation. That's a little bit different. That's talking about the personal tongues that we speak in. You're speaking mysteries. Amen. Now, in verse 3 it says, but one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, this is very important. In verse 3, that spells out right there the prophetic ministry, the New Testament prophetic ministry right there. That's what it's for. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a misnomer about the prophetic. You know, sometimes there's that thinking, well, I'm prophetic, so that means I'm going to be mean, Daniel. I'm going to be mean. I'm going to be hard because I'm prophetic. Do you know it doesn't anywhere in the Bible say that? It doesn't say because you're prophetic, you got to be mean and hard. Sometimes people use that because what happens if you have a prophetic gifting, sometimes God begins to show you things, and out of that, you begin to desire to see what God is showing you. You want to bring change to that person. And sometimes we begin to, you know, want to force change, and it can make us a little bit hard. We have to be real careful about that. The prophetic is the most valuable gifting to the body of Christ. It can also be one of the most harmful. Amen. Because that gifting can be there, and a person can operate in a soulish level rather than out of your spirit. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Amen. Now, it says here that it is for, number one, edification. Edification. Does anybody know what edification means? What it does? Build you up. That's exactly right. Build you up. That's a good thing, right? And so, number one, the prophetic ministry is for building up. We'll come back to that. Number two, it is for exhortation. Does anybody know what exhortation means? It's instructional teaching, especially that which encourages. Instructional teaching, that's what the Greek word for exhortation means. Especially that which encourages. Amen? That's pretty good. Amen? Number three, consolation. What is that? Comfort. Amen? Nothing comforts you like the word of the Lord. Now, let me give you another misnomer. Sometimes it's thought that the prophetic is given to God's people to correct one another. Do you know that that's not true? Do you know God doesn't correct through the prophetic? Now, oftentimes you have a prophetic gifting working in conjunction with something else. And maybe you'll have a man of God, maybe a leader that's up, and there's a prophetic anointing, and he's ministering, and then maybe a corrective word will come forth. But that's not prophecy. That's instruction from authority, from a pastor or something. Does anyone here, you want to make a stab of what is it for the New Testament person that corrects? What tool are we given to correct with? Well, the Holy Spirit certainly can correct if He wants to. But what's given to us to correct?
The Word.
Let's turn real quickly. Hold your hand there in 1 Corinthians 14. Turn to 2 Timothy. The third chapter. Guys, I have been around the prophetic I've walked in the prophetic ministry for probably somewhere around 25 years. Been around a lot of people, a lot of prophets, traveled various parts of the world with people that were actually prophets. And one of the things that I want to do in this teaching is to help you not fall in pitfalls that I fell into. Amen? That's one of the good things about teaching, is that especially if you know something, you can keep someone else from falling in the same mistakes that you did. Isn't that good? You know, as parents, I don't want to see my kids make the same mistakes I made. Amen. That's one of the good things about making mistakes. Now, not good to make mistakes, but one of the things that God does out of a mistake is he can at least give you the revelation to teach someone else not to do the same thing you did. Amen. That's a good thing about teaching. Amen. Now, here in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God. That's pretty good right there. You know, his word's inspired, right? It's anointed. It's full of life, full of authority, and full of power. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Amen. What is given to you for instruction for people? This right here. It's the Word of God. Amen. This right here will produce change in people. Or it has the anointing to produce change in people. Amen. Oftentimes, me standing up and giving someone a word, you know, Daniel, you need to quit doing what you're doing. You need to buckle up and do right. You know, oftentimes that's not going to do anything. Now, if his heart's right, he can gain from it even if I'm wrong. But what produces change in people is this right here. Amen. And so I want to make sure that's understood. The prophetic in the New Testament is not meant to bring correction. And do you know, in times that causes problems in churches is because oftentimes, and it's not that people does not have a gifting. You know, anyone that prophesies ever can miss God and has missed God. I can tell you that. Amen. Guys, I've been doing this for a long time, and I will stand up here and tell you that when I release a word, I'm going to be accountable for it. Now, I'm not talking about being accountable to God. We know that. But I'm going to make myself accountable to somebody for the word that I'm releasing. I'm here today. Now Tim submits to our church. He submits to my authority. Do you know why I'm here? I'm submitting this to him. I'm submitting this to him. This is his place here. And so any word that I release, I'm going to submit it to him. And he can pull me aside later and say, hey, man, brother, you're off out there. And I'm going to say, brother, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I am not the lone wolf out there that cannot be corrected. Amen. You can mess up. And anyone that has a prophetic ministry and you give words, you have to hold yourself accountable. You have to be accountable to others because you can miss it. You miss God. Sometimes it wasn't God you was hearing, it was that plate of spaghetti that you ate last night. Amen. Sometimes it's because you're operating out of a soulish realm, and we'll get to that here in a minute. And so you make yourself accountable. It's very important in the prophetic. And oftentimes in churches, there has been times where people, and it wasn't that they didn't have a prophetic gifting, they did. It's just that they were taking that and they were using it in interjecting what they think and what they think someone ought to know rather than what God wants them to know. Amen. And because they see something and they want to correct it, and it's out of a good heart, but it's used to try to put correction in someone's life. You have to be real careful about that. Man, as a man of God, use this right here to correct all you want. Be careful about prophesying to correct. Amen. And the thing is, too, is that when you're prophesying to someone, let me put it this way. When you hear God, there's always that possibility that you can miss it. And even with that, that's why we're supposed to be accountable to one another. Even with things that God's telling you to do individually for your life, if you miss God, that just messes with your life. Okay, that just messes with you. You know, if you're trying to hear God about a decision and you don't hear right, or maybe he's trying to tell you, but basically you already have determined what you want to do anyway because you wanted to do this certain way And a lot of times that's the way it is. We really know what God is leading us to do, but because we really want to go this direction, we're going to say, well, I heard God. God told me to do this. But really, it's just us because we want to go that way. But the thing is that that just affects your life. That when you prophesy, you're affecting somebody else. Man, you're giving them what they're seeing as the word of the Lord. And so all the more reason to be accountable for it. Amen? Because if you miss it, then you've affected their life. Does that make sense? Yeah. Amen. Nothing wrong with being accountable. Guys, that's just a safeguard. Just a safeguard. It's a good way to be. And let me tell you this. If you want to do anything much for God and go anywhere much for God, you better learn to be accountable and submit to authority because it's a safeguard to you. Amen? And because if you mess up and your heart's right and you got people around you that have kind of pull you back around, man, that just keeps you from falling into a pit. Amen. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's good teaching, Pastor James. Amen.
So you're saying to take authority of whatever situation you're in with you, the circumstances, whoever's in authority over you at that point.
In authority or even just be accountable to people you're around.
So
you know,
not necessarily a position of authority, just to be held accountable in general.
All of it. Yeah. Yeah. Certainly you can, depends on the context, but let's just say like if you're prophesying, you guys are from the Weatherford Church, right? You're prophesying there. Well, automatically you're under these guys here.
Right.
And so automatically you're under their authority. And so by ministering there with them, you put yourself in a position where they can say, hey, you know, you were off there. It's okay. We love you, but you were off there. And they can correct you. They can instruct you because they're in authority there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But also, you can apply that at any level. You apply it in your homes, right? You apply it at your job. You can apply that one to another. You know, a good thing in the prophetic ministry that I tell people in the church is that if you're, and there, listen, your church is going to flourish with their own giftings, but it's also going to reflect oftentimes a higher level of anointing of the person that pastors. And so whoever the pastor is, he is also releasing his anointing and his influence will be on that church or her influence will be on that church. And so oftentimes that gifting that they operate in will flourish a little greater among the people and why they're in that church, even if they're not necessarily gifted that way, they will tend to walk in that gifting a little bit because it flows down. Does that make sense? And so there's a lot of people in our church that they'll prophesy. They've got a prophetic gifting and they've learned to hear the voice of God. But I always tell them, hey, if you've got a word for somebody, you don't have to just get me or Dan. I mean, if it's something that's instructional, then you need to get a leader. You know, if you're going to go to someone and say, hey, you need to quit your job, you better get a leader over there because you're giving him direction. If you're saying something that is direction for their life, bring a leader in because it's a higher level of prophecy because you're going to change the direction of what, where they're going in life. Most prophecy is not directional. Most of it's, is encouraging. You know, this is what God's saying to you, that He loves you, He cares about you, and don't worry about the things that you've done in the past. God loves you, He's going to use you. That's usually the context of most prophecy to the church. It's going to follow what we read there in Corinthians. And so most of the time it's not something that is going to be directional for someone. It's a word of encouragement. Just bring somebody with you. You know, I'm always concerned whenever I look in the church and someone is coming in and they've pulled this person aside over here and they're over here in the corner and they're right there because maybe they're giving them a word and there's no one there to be accountable to. What you do is you just pull someone, come with me over here. You just pull someone over here and say, hey, what's your name again?
Sandra.
Yeah, I know that, but I forget something. You say, hey, Sandra, I've got a word for him. I just want you to be here and just, I want you to judge it and see if you think this is right. And then you give the word and you have someone there that's going to help you be accountable. Does that make sense? Nothing wrong with that. You know, pull someone over here. Don't pull someone that's not saved over there. Pull someone you trust. Pull someone over there that you know is a woman or a man of God that knows how to hear God, and they can help you be accountable. And oftentimes what will happen is If your word's right on, what'll happen is God will move on then. They'll just add to it. They'll say, yeah, and this is what I'm hearing. And now they'll just, it, what it does is it, by means of team ministry, it enhances what God wants to do anyway, but it also keeps you covered. It keeps you safe. And if you're giving them some word that's off the wall, well then, you know, she can say, hey, you know, and just try to be very tactful about it, but try to bring it back around and put it back in perspective and then pull you aside later and say, hey man, you might want to go to pastor about that. I think he's off the wall there, you know? And you know what? Thank you guys. As people of God, if you're going to walk in spiritual giftings, you have to train yourself not to be offended. If that offends you, then you don't have any business operating in the prophetic. If you're offended by another person of God who you trust tells you you're wrong, then you probably need to sit and hear some teaching for a while. Amen? Does that make sense? I'm just telling it like it is. Guys, you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you got to be way above being offended. Amen? That's for babies in Christ. I mean, you want to operate in the supernatural, you got to not wear your feelings on your shirt sleeve. And you got to be willing to take the tough stuff. You want to dish the tough stuff out, you better take it. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, amen. Amen. No, good question. Good question, by the way. Just you know, it's a good principle in all walks of life.
What do you do to rectify a situation? Maybe that you've already done something like that.
Like if you miss God on a situation,
well,
maybe?
I'm not saying necessarily that, but maybe you've spoken a word or said, you know, I had this vision over you, and, you know, that's something you aren't aware of before. These are people we're integrated with all the time.
Right. I don't think it's something you got to go back and rehash a lot of things, you know.
Well, but you go to your pastor, and say, by the way, I want you to be aware of this.
Or, you can.
That's kind of why I'm asking about the authority type thing.
Yeah, you can if you know, just be led by the Spirit of God. I mean, you know, it's probably not something you got to go back and think about all the words you've given and think, well, you know, did I do that right? You know, just go on from here, you know, with the new revelation that you have. I mean, God covers that with grace. You know, I mean, it's probably all right up to this point, or you'd probably know it, you know, but it just take the new revelation that you get and just run from there. God will bless you. You know, he'll cover you, cover all of us have those things, you know, and God, praise God for his grace that's covered that. Amen. But you walk in the light that you have at the time. And then when you get new light, you just go on with that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay. Yeah, so it's good to be accountable. Good to be accountable. Let me talk just a little bit here about, is there any other questions about that, by the way? Now let me say a little bit more about the being hard. It is true that sometimes because we live in this fleshly body, man, we get really excited about the things of God. It can tend to make us a little bit hard. And I don't mean hard-hearted. I mean hard and just abrupt. Because, listen, the Word of God is unbiased. It's just the Word. It's just the truth. Amen? And so it's going to say what it says. And sometimes it's offensive to people because it digs us a little bit because we're guilty. I mean, that's what the Word of God does. Sometimes, whether it's a teaching gifting or whatever, sometimes a teaching gifting can be straightforward, you know. But the thing is that's our carnality. It's not God's. Amen. And as we grow in those things, you begin to learn how to operate in such a way where you're not tough and mean. And you have to be careful if you're constantly trying to instruct someone all the time. Constantly trying to, you know, you get around someone and, hey, Jeremy, you need to lead worship a little better than that. There was another song I was hearing. You didn't hear that song. You better quit being embarrassed about that and get up, you know. If you're always doing that, people aren't going to receive you very well. And that's not really God, that's you. Does that make sense? There is a we're made up of three, spirit, soul, and body, right? Spirit, soul, and body. I'm not going to teach on that, but it's important to understand. Oftentimes, people operate in out of the soul and out of the flesh rather than out of the spirit. Amen. We are to walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, that word Spirit is the same word, and it just depends on the translator. Sometimes when it's a capital S, it's talking about the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God. When it's a small S, that's meant to be your spirit, but it's the same word. It was just left up to the translators and as the context of it. And you have to dig deep to really understand which is the right one there. But when you get down to it and splitting hairs, it doesn't matter. Because if you live out of your spirit, you will be living by the Holy Spirit as well. Amen. Does that make sense? And God wants us to live out of our spirit. Amen. The thing is that the giftings can operate in your life even if you're living over in the soul realm. Let me talk about the dangerous person with the prophetic ministry is a person that lives and operates and prophesies out of the soulish realm. Because the soul realm, your mind, will, and emotions, it will mimic the spirit. And what clanks around up there a lot of times is you and not God. It's what you've heard, what you think, and things like that. And guys, you're not here tonight to hear what Pastor James thinks. That's not why you're here. You're here to hear me teach what the Word of God says. Amen? Because what I think won't do you a bit of good. Now, I understand there are times when we can say, listen, I don't know that. I don't know this certain thing, and here's what I think about it. And you should say it in those terms when it's that way. And that way people can come out of that saying, you know, he's not sure about that. I'm going to go study it myself. Amen. Now, I don't want to prophesy to Daniel about what I think he needs to know. Does that make sense? If I just want to tell him what I think, I just need to go up to him and say, hey, Daniel, you know what I think? I think you need to do this. And he can take that in context, take it with a grain of salt, and do what he wants to with it. The problem is sometimes people prophesy to people what they think they need to hear. That's not God. That's not God. Chad doesn't want to get around me so I can prophesy to him what I think he needs. That doesn't matter. He wants what God thinks. Amen. He wants to hear what God's speaking through me, what God thinks about the situation. That's what brings life. That's what brings life. Amen. And there is an operating over in a soulish level where people start prophesying. They know maybe a little bit about a situation or something. And so they start prophesying what they think. And the thing is, that can get off. It can get wrong. That's operating in a soulish level. Amen. And oftentimes, when it's like that, you tend to get a little bit hard. You tend to get real instructional and things like that. And listen, it's not that the Spirit of God can't put someone in line. They can't. I'm not saying it's not instructional in the sense that you come away from a prophecy getting direction and things like that. But when prophecy becomes, I'm going to straighten you out, that's generally operating out of the soul realm. Because this is, if you want to straighten somebody out, you have every right to do that. Just get the Word and go to them. Amen. Just get the Word and say, hey, Brennan, can I talk to you a minute? This is what the Word of God says. I see this in your life. Then, you know, you're talking to him out of the Word, and he can take that and put it in context and go on with it. But, you know, if I stand up and begin prophesying, Brennan, you need to do this, and you're not doing right, and brother, you're operating out of fear and things like, you know, what's he going to do with that? Because I'm standing up here under the name of hearing from God, telling him this, and he's going away, you know, being pulled out in front of everybody with me telling him, you know, pointing out all his shortcomings, right? Well, in chapter 14, that's not what it says a prophetic ministry is. Amen? Does that make sense? Are we learning anything here? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, amen. Now, forgive me if I've stepped on any toes or anything, not intended to, but guys, these are good things to learn. And it will enhance the prophetic ministry in your life, I can promise you, if you follow these principles. Amen. Now, let me talk just a little bit about what will enhance the prophetic. The prophetic ministry, and again, I didn't have time and I won't have time to spell out everything about the prophetic ministry. Go and study it there in those chapters. One of the things that will enhance it is learning how to train your spiritual ears to hear God. Amen. Man, if you can train yourself to hear God, I'm telling you what, whether you have a prophetic ministry or not, you're going to be hearing God, what's being said, what God's saying in that situation. Amen. And there's a lot of people that don't claim to operate in the prophetic, but I tell you what, because they have trained themselves to hear God, man, they when they do say something, it's spot on, and they can usually be the best judge of what is being said prophetically because they've just learned to hear God. Amen. One of the best ways to train yourself to hear God is to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. The prophetic is supernatural. It's a supernatural thing. Nothing about it that's natural. Amen. The things that are said by the prophetic are things that only God knows. The anointing that follows the prophetic touches hearts. It touches lives. It pulls people out of the depths of despair, gives them hope. It gives them a word sometimes when they think nobody's thinking about them. They think God's forgotten about them. And all of a sudden, you, by the Spirit of God, you've heard something. You release that word, and it's life-changing to them. Sometimes they've been saying certain things, exact statements, maybe an exact word that they've been going over in their spirit, talking to God, saying, God, you know, this, 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 and this. And the exact word, and you'll hear the exact word, and you'll prophesy to them, saying, this, you've been saying this and God's heard you. And man, they'll think, that's exactly what I've been saying. That word is the exact statement I made. And it changes lives. Changes lives. Amen. But that level of prophecy comes from being trained to hear God. Now, in chapter 12 of Romans, it says to prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. So there's various levels of prophecy. Amen. There's different levels that you operate in, and it becomes a spiritual maturity is what it becomes. You train this ear to hear, and if you do things like make yourself accountable, walk out of the Spirit, God will keep bumping you up to that next tier. Amen. You'll get to where, you know, you're prophesying powerful things to people because God can trust you. Amen. And I learned some time back that everything God tells you is not meant for you to release it. Amen. When I'm in a place, I'm constantly hearing things God's telling me. You know, I come in here, the first thing I try to do is, God, what are you saying? What are you saying about this place? And you know, God, He's speaking. It's just a matter of us here. Do you know that 99% of the things God is saying is not for me to get up here and start telling? No. And if you do, God will quit telling you. He'll quit showing you if you blab. Amen. And so you have to learn wisdom in prophesying as well. That's why you have leaders. That's why you have pastors. And you know, a lot of times, you know, just go and say, hey, Tim, you know, I've been hearing this from God. What do you think? Amen. My daughter, Abby, very prophetic. She's 20 years old. And God, man, he shows things to her in such detail that I think it's awesome. I've prayed for years to hear things like that. And the thing is God, you have to be cautious too, but I want to hear or see things like Abby. No, just hear them like what God wants to show you. Amen. You can't be jealous of that. But God, you know, God does things with people according to how He wants to. But God will show her specific things. I mean, just like, and I've been around a lot of men of God that have a strong prophetic gifting. And I have not seen anyone that has the specifics like what God shows her. But do you know, before she gives a word, she'll come to me and tell me every time because she's accountable. Amen. She'll come up and she'll say, Dad, this is what I'm hearing. And she'll tell me that word. And because she's accountable. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially as a 20-year-old young girl in a church. Amen. And so you make yourself accountable. You have a word to release to the church, you know, however the local leadership does, but you know, make yourself accountable. The people in our church don't have to tell me every word because they've proven themselves. You know, Dan doesn't have to come over here and say, Jamie, this is what God's, you know, he just say, I got a word. I say, man, give it, you know. But the thing is we still, no matter what level we're at, we make ourselves accountable. Amen. It's just a good way to live, guys. Good way to live. And you'll find that God will use you to a lot greater degree. Now, let me get back. Praying in the Spirit. I'm not teaching on the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit tonight. But let me just say, it's one of the things that will greatly enhance your hearing. Amen. I pray in the Spirit constantly. During the day, hours and hours, I'm praying in the Spirit. Because you can do it anytime. You can do it. You can almost do it while you're sleeping if you get good enough at it. I mean, you can just pray all the time. Yes. Okay. Good question. Praying in the Spirit, and you have to get with Tim to get teaching on it, is being filled with the Spirit and praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Some of you here may be from a place where maybe you didn't believe in that, whatever. I'm not here to step on toes. Let me just tell you what we believe in our church. We believe with being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. You don't have to. It's not a requirement to go to heaven. It's just something extra that enhances everything of the Spirit of God. Enhances everything. And Amit was, other than being saved, it was the second most powerful thing, life-changing thing that happened to me in my life, being filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Again, I'm not teaching on that, but good question. And so I will touch just a little bit on that, and you can get with Tim. When you're praying in tongues, now, praying in tongues for the individual is not the same as the gift of praying in tongues, which is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gift of praying in tongues, which is goes along with interpretation of tongues, is one that is a gift to the church, a lot like the prophetic is. It is a word of God that's released, but for some reason God wants to release it with tongues first, and then someone will interpret it and will interpret what God is saying through the tongues. Oftentimes I have found that when God releases that type of gifting of a message in tongues in the church, oftentimes it has to do with even foretelling of events to come. Oftentimes it is releasing things that can even be spiritual warfare. I mean, there's just a power that's released oftentimes through a message in tongues. Does that make sense? And so there's a lot of subjects we're touching on there. But it's a very powerful gifting. Now, the individual being filled with tongues, as it talks about through the book of Acts, it's very simple. You know, after you're saved, there is an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And tongues is one of the gifts that is given through that. And the reason is because it's so beneficial to you as a Christian. It just allows you to be what you cannot be otherwise concerning ministry by the Spirit. For example, I mean, even enhances your prayer life. For example, take Jeremy here. I know Jeremy. And when I'm in Oklahoma, sometimes I think about Jeremy and his family, and I pray for Jeremy. But do you know that absent tongues, how much can I pray for you if I don't know what you're going through? I can say, Lord, bless Jeremy. Help Jeremy. Lord, I love Jeremy. I know you love him. And I can start thinking of all the things that I think that I want God to do with Jeremy. But I don't know what he's going through. I don't know where he's at. You know, I can pray safety over him. But in about 5 minutes, I've covered just about every base. After that, I'm repeating myself, and if you're not careful, you get over in an area of doubt and unbelief, which is worse than praying for him in the first place. Lord, I hope Jeremy's all right. Oh, God, I hope, please keep him safe. Well, don't pray for him if you're going to pray like that, right? Because that's even worse. That's releasing doubt and unbelief over his life. Now, the thing is I can pray for Jeremy in the Spirit 24/7, praying the perfect will of God for his life. That's what it says in Romans chapter 8. I can say, Father, I'm going to pray for Jeremy, and I can begin praying in tongues for him, and I can do it as long as my little tongue can hold up. Yeah, I can just keep praying for him. And what's happening is there's a power in me that is going forth, being released over Jeremy's life, and it immediately goes and begins working the perfect plan and purpose of God for Jeremy. And I can do that forever. Amen. I'm not bound by the natural state of things. I'm not bound by my humanity in praying for Jeremy. All of a sudden, I've stepped over into a realm of the Spirit, It's just however long I want to keep it up. Amen. Does that make sense? Praying in the Spirit, too. Because it is praying out of your spirit in connection with the Holy Spirit. It develops your spirituality, including your spiritual ears. You want to hear God about a decision, you pray in the Spirit long enough, you can hear God about anything. Because all of a sudden you're just hearing. Amen. And so, and the thing is the sky's the limit then. It's just however long you want to keep the TV off and go pray. But if you're just praying in the language that you know, you're bound by your humanity. You're bound by your knowledge. And after a while, there's only so much you can pray. Have you ever tried praying for someone, for one person, for an hour in English? By that time, you're praying for their dog and their cat. And you're repeating yourself. And you don't have to repeat yourself to God. He hears it the first time. And he's not, you know, he doesn't have a bad memory. And so, but man, you pray by the Spirit, man. It's just, then it's just up on you how long you want to stick with it. Does that make sense? Amen. Guys, the second most life-changing thing that ever happened to me. Filled with the Spirit, praying in tongues. And I would give credit to that as the greatest thing to develop your spiritual ears. Amen. And out of that, then you begin to understand how to walk over into a level when you're not operating in a soulish realm. You're not prophesying out of emotion. You're not prophesying out of what you think. You're not prophesying, you know, out of what you know about that person. But you're prophesying by the Spirit of God. Amen. You're not telling Jeremy, well, I think Jeremy needs to hear this, and so I'm going to prophesy it to him. You know, well, that's a low level of prophecy. And then you prophesy by the Spirit. Man, the sky's the limit. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. What time is it, Jeremy?
Yep, 6:21.
6:21. Ooh, okay, we gotta wrap this up, guys. Okay, let's go back here. And another thing, real quickly, that it enhances your anointing anyway for everything is the Word. Read the Word. Read the Word. Read the Word. Get in the Word. Over my life, as a young teenager, I began to have a real hunger for the things of God and for the Word. And I began to get in the Word, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I still do constantly. I constantly read it. I'll sit in my chair, and I'll pull my Bible out and read things I've read thousands of times. But the thing is, it's not like other books. It's not, it's full of life. It is the Word of God. Make no mistake about it. It is just as powerful as the Word when God said, let there be light. And there was light. Same. There's not a second team, you know. Well, this has got first team Word and second team Word. No, it's just the Word of God. Amen. It's full of power. Well, you get in the Word, and as you know about the Word, it bears fruit, right? It produces in you. What does it produce? Life. All of God's purpose, that which He pleases. Isaiah 55, my word will not return unto me void, but it prospers in the thing whereunto I send it, and it accomplishes that which I please and prospers in the thing whereunto I send it. And so the Word of God is going to accomplish what He pleases in you. In other words, it's going to produce His will in you. Okay? Now, more specifically, what's His will? Well, you can find it in here. Whatever. Healing. You know, the Word of God will produce healing. Whatever your need is, if you can find it in here that God said it, that will, it can produce, has the ability to produce that in you. Amen. Nothing more powerful than that.
Before you do that, you have to believe it first.
You have to believe. There's a process. There's a process of the Word, which is a separate sermon, but it's right on. There's a process of it. As you see in Mark chapter 4, the same Word was spoken. Some hearts received it. Some hearts didn't. It produced in some and didn't in the other. But it wasn't the Word's fault. It was the heart. And so that's right. You have to believe. There is a process of the Word. But let's just say, all things being equal, that all your hearts are right. You get in the Word, it has the ability to greatly produce anointing in your life, but there are factors involved, just like the man said here. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, when you get down to it, it's all a heart issue, every bit of it. Amen? It's a heart issue. That's why in Proverbs, is it 4? It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow what? The issues of life. Amen. Why are the issues of life flow out of your heart? Because that's where the Word goes, right? The Word falls into your heart. What produces life? It's the Word. Amen. Now, what did I say? Have you got to 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 12 yet? Real quickly. We've got to wrap this up. Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying about. As I begin to read the Word, it really produced in my life. Later on, I begin to see, like now, as I'm a minister, I'm benefiting now from getting in the Word 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's benefiting me now. There are times that I can get sermons. I may be out in the field. I don't have my Bible there. But because I've read it so much, I pull the sermons up. It's just being pulled. The Holy Spirit's bringing it back to me because I've read it so much. It's kind of like when you watch a movie so much, you're able to quote those movie lines, you know? Well, that's what this is. You're able to quote it, and it's in there. And so it pays off now because I did it so much. Same way with anybody. Man, what you're doing today is going to pay off later. Amen? Yeah, amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, we can't go there, but it talks a lot about the gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 gifts that's mentioned. It actually means manifestation, but that's splitting hairs. Gifts is also used there, the word gift. There's other more than just the 9. You can study that out. There is a theme there that I want to mention to you that's very important, and I'll just give it to you. It's unity. There's a theme in chapter 12, unity. It talks about can the foot say to the hand, I have no need of thee? You can't do it, right? Because we need each other. And that's talking about we need each other. And it's talking about, you know, my hand is not fighting my foot. You know, my hand's not offended at my foot. You know, when I go home, my hand and my foot don't get in a fight. And I don't have to say, hey, guys, knock it off. Settle down. Quit being mad at you. You tell the foot you're sorry. You know, now, it doesn't work that way, does it? The body of Christ is meant to walk in unity as well. And that is a key to see the gifts flourish in a local body. The local church is unity. Amen. And again, making yourself accountable, not being easily offended, goes a long way to walking in unity. Amen. If you're easily offended, and I can tell you this, you're going to, strife will come out of that, and there won't be much unity because you're going to be offended. You're going to take that with you. And it's going to cause problems. Amen. And here's the thing. I've been teaching this at our church. Every offense that you've ever taken is because of a thought. And it's not that there wasn't something that took place. But it only becomes offense when you take the thought of it and take it as your own. Amen. It's important to understand that all the things of the Spirit, they bypass this, go right into the heart. All the things of the Spirit. God doesn't need this up here. It goes right into here. And out of this, it brings stability to this and brings life to this from in here. The things of the world are just the opposite. They can't go right in here. They go up here. And you are the one that opens the door up here and brings it into your heart by taking offense, taking that thought. Well, Tim said this to me, and it really hurts my feelings. And you take that, and there's the thought up there. You take it, and all of a sudden, now you've got offense. And then it does become a heart issue. It becomes a heart issue there. And when it becomes a heart issue, then it has the ability to produce that very thing. Or you get over into the curse, and you start walking in death and things like that. Not literal death, but the curse. Amen? Just the way it goes. You have to not take those things. Amen? And so walking in unity, not being offended, things like that, goes a long way to having unity in your church. Amen. Now, the second one, most important of all, and this goes with all the things I've been saying about how to prophesy, not prophesying with an edge to you. You know, I'm coming in, I got a prophetic gift, and I'm looking around here. I'm going to see who I'm going to prophesy to. I see old Hugh back there. I'm going to set him in order, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to use my prophetic, you know. And let me tell you, the best way to flourish in the gifts, it gives it to you right here in chapter 13. Well, read the last verse of chapter 12. Last verse, it says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. Nothing wrong with that, guys. God wants you to. And I show you still a more excellent way. Chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, it's going to mention several of the gifts here, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of what? What does it say there? Prophecy. Prophetic, however your translation says. And you know all the mysteries. You've got such a prophetic gift that you know all the mysteries and all knowledge. You have all faith and remove mountains and do not have love. What does it say? I'm nothing. In verse 3, it ends up saying, it profits me nothing. Amen. And if it says that, you can put it in this context. It profits the church nothing. Amen. So you can have the greatest level of the prophetic in the world. You don't walk in love. It doesn't profit anybody anything. Amen. That's pretty good. Amen. And God has a way of putting things in context, does He not? Amen. What is the greatest commandment we have above all? Walk in love. That outdoes prophecy any day of the week. Amen. Matter of fact, further there in chapter 13, it says that when love is around, prophecies cease. Everything just begins to cease. In other words, it pales in comparison to love. Amen. That's pretty good, guys. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Is there any questions? We're going to have to wrap this up, but you can maybe just consider this part one, if you want to. Amen. Because there's a whole lot more. Amen. Is there any questions?